The name of this sharing is called Jesus Made Deviled Ham. And if you will, turn with me to Mark chapter 5, verse 1 through 20. Jesus Made Deviled Ham. And we're going to read the first four verses of Mark chapter 5. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Okay, so we see that the people of this town had a problem. They had really a horrible problem with this man and with the demons that he had. And so when Jesus came, they needed Jesus to get rid of the problem. And that was their view. They had this demon problem, and they needed Jesus to come get rid of the problem. So in verse 5, we'll read 5 through 7 now. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. All right, interesting little phraseology going on there. When this demon-possessed person saw Jesus afar off, he ran up to him, and he worshipped him. And then this is what he said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus? He ran and he worshipped him. This sounds like some Christians I know, not anybody that's on Skype right now. And then he said, I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. So he's calling upon God to stop Jesus from tormenting him. And let's face it, people that are plagued with demons, they can see Jesus as a tormentor. They can see the word that he shares or his presence. They can feel that that torments them. That he's a tormentor, you could even say. And then verse 8 through 10. For he said, speaking of Jesus, for he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. So, apparently the demons liked the area. They wanted to stay in that area. And if they were going to be cast out of this man, they would like for Jesus to pick somebody in the area. Now, I mean, I'm just thinking about modern day Christianity. A lot of times I've heard groups get together and pray against the enemy in their city and pray that they'd go to another city. That's always been most of you who know me know that's been a bother to me, because basically you're just sending your problems to somebody else and then feeling real good that you don't have any problems anymore. But in this case, there were some different things that happened. In verse 11 through 13, Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And so here we have Jesus made deviled ham. And thankfully, that's not the end of my message today. It's actually just the beginning. But now let's look at verse 14 through 17, and this will finish off what I was planning on reading here. And they that fed the swine, so we're talking the swine herders, they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Okay. Now I'm having a little bit of a problem here. They've had this horrible problem, and this guy is roaming their country, roaming their lands, and attacking people and crying out and moaning in the tombs. And when they try to chain him, he breaks the chains. So when Jesus comes along, Jesus gets him free, and he's sitting, and he's clothed. Apparently, this guy's running around naked, and that might have been a problem for some people. He was clothed, and he was in his right mind, and they were afraid. Okay, so it sounds to me like they're more afraid of Jesus than they are demons. And they that saw it told them that how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. So the swine herders didn't like what was going on. You can't say they didn't like what was going on. They wanted Jesus to solve their problem, but they wanted to save their pigs. Get rid of the demons, but let's keep the pigs. All right. So, I wrote down, when Jesus deals with our demon problems, he also wants to deal with our flesh problems, the pigs. He's not just a demon chaser. He is a pig dealer with. He deals with pigs. He deals with these things within us. And so, in their minds, though, the devil is the problem. The devil is the problem. It's the enemy. It's just the devil. You know, you ever heard somebody say, the devil made me do it? Well, no. He might have urged you, but you did it. They're seeing the demons as a problem, but in God's mind, there's a bigger problem. There's a bigger problem. There's always a bigger issue in his mind than the externals of our lives, which we think are always, that's the problems, the externals of our lives that are coming against us. So the issue with God had to do with what they were giving themselves unto. They were supposed to be raising sheep for sacrifice, and I don't have it down here, but in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 4, it states that on the day they dedicated the temple, now this is just one man, that Solomon offered like 40,000 bullocks and 120,000, some huge amount of sheep. Well, they were sacrificing all the time. Every time somebody sinned, they had to sacrifice a lamb. And every time, you know, so this, there were millions of people in Israel. And so their main job, occupation in Israel was to raise sheep. All right, so Jesus not only got rid of the demons, but he got rid of the pigs too. And he's probably looking at us, looking at those guys, thinking, we're not supposed to be spending our time cultivating pigs. We're you know, supposed to be. I mean, you could say, however much we love bacon, Jesus loves lamb more. God loves lamb way more. All right. So, the goal of the Spirit of God is to form Christ in us. The goal isn't just to get rid of the demons, but to get rid of the pigs too. In 1 Peter 5:4, it says this: "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Okay, so Jesus is the chief shepherd. And also in Peter, it calls him the shepherd of our souls. All right, now, there's different ways of looking at that, and probably the most common way we would go is, the Lord is my shepherd. And so, yes, he's going to just lead me to the right things, and he's going to feed me the right stuff, and he's going to do that. And okay, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. However, in light of this story, Jesus is a shepherd. That means that he's trying to shepherd us into being lambs. He wants a flock. A shepherd oversees lambs. And in this sense, he's trying to bring us more and more into the image of the lamb, more and more into his image, because the shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, the one described in John 10, Jesus said, "I'm the good shepherd." You know why? Because I give my life for the sheep. He didn't say, "I'm the good shepherd because I protect the sheep, feed the sheep, bless the sheep, do special things for the sheep." He said, "I'm the good shepherd because the good shepherd's really a lamb also." And so what he's trying to do is cultivate in us a flock. All these different motives and all these different things and all these different thoughts and all of this. He's trying to cultivate us into being his flock and everything. But then when we take over, what happens? When we take over, when we start being in charge, we start cultivating pigs. We start cultivating all of this gluttonous attitude for what we want. This is what I want. And all these pigs within us. And we're so pretty soon in Israel that belongs to God, you got pig herders. They are proud of their job, you know, and because people come up to him and go, "Hey, I like bacon, so do a good job." God's saying, "I hate pigs. I hate their attitude. I hate their way. They're just the opposite of my son. They're just the opposite of the lamb." And so, just a short thought now in relationship to the prodigal son. The prodigal son was a son of the father. A certain man had two sons. They're both sons. And one son says, the younger one, says, "Father, give me your stuff." So we're talking about godly stuff. "Give me your stuff. And I'm going to go out and I'm going to go use it for you." But when he gets out there, see, he starts misusing the things of God. And before too long, he's herding pigs. He's cultivating pigs. He's himself becoming one because he's in there eating the husks of the pigs. Which, again, as I always say, no self-respecting Jew is going to herd pigs or eat pig food because that's a no-no. All right. So, a Gentile doesn't really recognize the great depth of that statement. What's even greater than that? It's not a Jewish thing. It's a God thing. God wants his son. God's trying to develop the lamb in us. Jesus is the great shepherd of our souls, and he's trying to develop a flock of motives that are lamb, and a flock of thought life that is lamb. And we are not letting him, we want him to be the shepherd that leads us to the right place, that gives us direction and does all this stuff. But then we want to be the pig herder when it comes to certain reactions or motives or things like that. And so So this spirit begins to take over within us, which is the opposite of the Good Shepherd. It begins, we begin to be not just lambs conformed to the image of Christ, conformed to the image of the Good Shepherd, who is a lamb himself, the chief lamb, we could say. Lamb on the throne, there he is. Look at him, lamb on the throne, and everybody's worshiping lamb on the throne. Not chief shepherd, but chief shepherd who became a lamb for his sheep, so that they also could see in him the spirit. And so what do? We say, yeah, you know, we worship lamb on the throne, but we secretly become pig herders and cultivate certain attitudes and motives and thoughts, and put into them a cultivation that will allow them to flourish. Well, Jesus comes along, and when he comes along and he says, we need you to get rid of our demons. We need you to fix our demon problem. And Jesus goes, okay. But I'm not going to do it the way you think. I'm going to deal with the demons. I'm going to deal with the pigs. And I'm going to deal with the pig herders. Because they're on the wrong track. And so he does. And, you know, he does it just very simply. Jesus just, you know, makes deviled ham. And that's the answer. And that's your answer for today, and to realize Jesus makes deviled ham. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for the Word of God that is living and powerful. It's sharp, and it is meant to cut through our religious ways and our small, narrow thinking and seeing, to open us up more and more to the great shepherd of our souls. Open us more and more to the Lamb upon the throne. And Father, we say yes. We don't want to be pig herders. We don't want to be those who are cultivating pigs in our being and in our mind and in our motives. We want Jesus. So Lord, we ask you to move by your Spirit more and more, so that we will become in the image of Christ as both lamb and shepherds, under shepherds, shepherds over our reactions. And we will deal with them. We will pull out the rod when needed and strike those wrong motives that are in us. And Lord, as it were, bring them under subjection until the lamb is formed into every part of us. Lord, thank you for the application of the cross that is the final say in all of these things. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name.